Hi, we are Jetpacks for Sale.
And you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Mass.
It's a medical breakthrough. Doctors are prescribing something new to help prevent cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't get it filled at the pharmacy. The answer is as close as your local supermarket. That's right. Research has shown that a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods protects against cancer and can even help survival rates. Side effects of a vegetarian diet include increased energy, lower cholesterol levels, and better overall health. And with the right recipes, a high-fiber vegetarian diet can be a delicious way to help shed those unwanted pounds. So, stock up today. For a free nutrition booklet filled with delicious cancer-fighting recipes, visit cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. That's 866-906-WELL. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project, committed to preventing cancer and improving survival.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. You can also, if you are near an internet-enabled device, go check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO, facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO, all one word. It's a new way for you to reach us, be a part of the show. Leave comments there.
And I've been posting.
Yes, you've been posting. You've been very good about posting. It's good to see you posting.
Yeah.
So that was, you're not afraid. And I didn't say anything mean about your posts.
No.
I said I wouldn't.
No.
I'll say mean things about Chae Spillane's posts.
Which were fabricated and inaccurate.
Yeah, she's sending bogus stuff that was like perfect thing that happened material.
Mm-hmm.
And then I post it, and then one of the listeners...
Well, I actually got a text from one of my friends who informed me of that, but then went on the page and posted about it.
So one of our listeners is like, oh, yeah, this didn't happen. And it's like, oh, well, that's Chae for you. That's why Lisa Nichols is here, and Chae Spillane was evicted to California.
Yeah, pushed her away.
Yeah, she's in Tarzana now. So that tells you where life is after this show.
Yeah, well, after this show, you might kick me off.
What? No, you're fine. You're fine.
We had a mishap.
You need to think of this as a challenge.
Let the listeners know that I'm going through the complete entire show without my notes that I've been working on for the past 3 days.
Because your notes are where?
At my grandmother's house.
Because
I am a good grandchild, and I visit her often.
Right.
And I carry a lot of stuff with me, big bags, and
And the notes are where at your grandmother's house?
On my laptop.
Which cannot do what?
Connect to the internet.
So you have a laptop that cannot connect to the internet.
Yeah, it has issues.
Is really what this comes down to.
I do everything through my phone, but I learned a lesson.
Yes.
Just like that one time, that one single time that I was late for the show.
Yes.
So also, don't forget your show notes.
Right.
It's an evolution.
But I'll tell you, it's happened to me.
Mm.
I have come in here and like show notes weren't saved or show notes got scrambled or disappeared or whatever, and I've had to do it on the fly. So, you know.
We're flying tonight.
Yeah. You know what?
We are flying high.
This will be a learning experience for Lisa and probably very, very amusing for the listeners. So, with that in mind, Lisa Nichols, what did we learn today?
Well, in local news, we learned the ones on public assistance might not be the ones that need it. Federal officials are pondering how to tighten regulations on tens of thousands formerly low-income individuals and families, including several hundred in Massachusetts, who still live in government-subsidized homes, even though they now are making too much money to qualify. A nationwide audit by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development found that of July 2014, there were 25,226 over-income families. Those living in housing, despite having incomes slightly, moderately, or in some cases, substantially above income limits that they had initially met when they applied. Now, the majority of those families, 17,761, or about 70% of them, had earned more than the limits for more than 1 year, according to the audit conducted by the department's Office of Inspector General. The audit did identify 621 over-income families in Massachusetts. That's including 184 in Boston, 100 in New Bedford, 96 in Cambridge, 38 in Fall River, and 34 in Lowell.
Let me ask two questions here. Number one, how over-income are we talking about? Are we talking about like six-figure families living in subsidized housing like
they
used to in
Cambridge? Well, let's look at some of the examples here in Massachusetts. One of the worst examples statewide was a family living in public housing in New Bedford. An income of $200,000.
Okay, that's bad.
$768. That's $157,818 above the $42,950 limit. Again, that's $157,000 over.
That's bad.
Now, if we look at the most extreme case in Boston, that's a family living in public housing in Roxbury, a family making $191,773.
That's also bad.
That's $124,000 over the limit. The $67,000 is the income minimum or maximum that you can make.
Right. So it's not
so
like...
So we're not talking about, hey, you have one good year in the office.
Yeah.
You're making maybe an extra $20,000. We're talking about, and this audit shows, over multiple years, not just one single year.
So they've been doing this for a while.
And this audit also shows, countrywide, there are no regulations set in place.
Yeah.
So the one thing I have to say, across the country, if not at least in Massachusetts, why are there no regulations? Why can't there be some sort of broad outline for this not to happen? How much is the state losing? How much
because
is our country
losing?
Because
it's all in the honor system, Lisa. It's all, you know, the theory is once you get enough money to get out of public housing, you will get out of public housing. But what some of these people seem to be showing us is public housing ain't that bad of a deal, especially if you can bank a couple hundred thousand bucks a year.
Now, here in Massachusetts, actually in Boston itself, there's over 100,000 families that are on the waiting list.
Right.
It's 100,000 families. I'm sure a good majority of them actually need it.
Yeah. I wanted to be sure that we weren't talking about families that were making like a buck over the income limit, because they probably can't afford anything around here.
No, and absolutely. But when I say there needs to be protocols put in place or some sort of regulations, there also has to be a safety net for something if there is a year that you do have maybe a little extra over the income.
Yeah. If you're making $200,000 a year and living in public housing,
that's a problem.
It's time to go to Newton where you belong. You know, get out to Wellesley.
If you actually look at the breakdown, Andover, North Andover, Newton actually falls in there. There's one family on assistance.
What?
Yeah.
But I think that's to satisfy a federal requirement that you have to have some
Winchester, do they,
public housing in Newton.
Oh, it's the same thing in the Seaport. Look at all the buildings going up. Each of those apartment buildings, by law, actually has to have public assistant housing.
Right, which means...
Or they pay a fine, which a majority of them do.
Either that or they throw three units in the basement with a separate entrance.
So just go in the back.
Yeah, so the rich people never have to come in contact with the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do that.
But especially here in Massachusetts, we are talking about how much money our state is losing. Not only for this, but look at how many people are on assistance with SNAP cards, with some sort of food assistance. A lot of these people don't need it. And the people that do need it don't get it.
And this is a particular type of welfare cheat that we're talking about. We always talk about the people who just don't want to work,
mm-hmm.
who get the government benefits and settle in, and they're sitting around.
No, because, Derek, it's America. You don't have to work. It's actually easier if you don't work.
They're sitting around. They're taking drugs all day. You know, they're basically living off of the system. And those people are worthy of pity because they can't do anything more. They're never going to be anything more. That's who they are. This is a particular type of scumbag that basically sits there and says, hey, you know what? I got subsidized public housing. I make $200,000 a year. Well, let's go on vacation.
Yeah, but you can't solely blame the person. You had to blame the system. We allow it to happen.
But we allow it to happen because nobody ever believed that someone who earns $200,000 a year would stay in public housing. They didn't realize that there were these people who have means who would sponge off of these programs either so that they can drive fancy cars or chuck a lot of money in the bank or whatever it is that they're doing. The reality is they need to get out of there.
No, I hear it all the time from, you know, family or friends that are teachers, and a lot of these kids that are coming in are on public assistance.
Yeah.
Parents pull up in Escalades. Parents pull up in Benz.
Yeah.
They own restaurants in the North End. But no, solely the child is under the mother's name, not under dual income.
Right.
So they get away with this.
Yeah.
It is a broken system.
Unfortunately,
it's probably never going to be fixed. There needs to be severe focus on it for it to happen, and the state isn't doing it. We're not doing it across the country, so why are we going to do it here in Massachusetts?
I knew a family when I was growing up that was playing those games. You know, they had a bunch of kids, but they were taking advantage of, like, every, like, public assistance program that was available out there. You know, anything that they could get their kids into for cheap or free or anything like that. And they're screaming poor mouth all the time. They're living in a four-bedroom house in not a bad part of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't starving.
Well, the
over
average
there.
Family struggles.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know what? Get rid of your Cadillac Escalade. Get rid of your cable TV. Get rid of your iPhone and your $150 a month bill.
Mm-hmm.
Live within your means, and you don't need public assistance. But if you're getting $200,000 a month or a year, and you're living in public housing, you are a particular type of parasite who is screwing the system.
It's sad.
We need to get them out. Not a good look. In national news, we learned that establishment candidates are having a rough time on the campaign trail. Voters in the New Hampshire primary chose Vermont Senator and self-avowed Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton by a margin of 60% to 38%, with Sanders winning every New Hampshire county. Donald Trump finished on top for the Republicans with 35%, followed by Ohio Governor John Kasich with 16%, and a trio of Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, and Marco Rubio separated by just 3,100 votes for third, fourth, and fifth place. The good news...
John Kasich, out of nowhere.
Well, John Kasich has been living in New Hampshire for the last 3 months.
The one credit that I do have to give him, he put so much effort
into...
And if you hear about the breakdown of how much money each candidate spent per vote, he was the highest in New Hampshire. I think he had over 115, around 116 visits to different locations in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So his efforts were rewarded.
Well, he's been living there. It's like if you were in New Hampshire, you couldn't get away from the guy.
Yeah. I think he was flipping burgers at the Red Arrow Diner.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah, it was sort of, you go to the gas station, and John Kasich comes out and pumps your gas. He's like, will you
exactly.
vote for me in the primary?
The pity votes.
Still way, way, way behind Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I still maintain that John Kasich is making a play to be the vice presidential candidate. And his strong showing in New Hampshire ups his credibility on that front. Carly Fiorina and Chris Christie have both left. So now there are only, I believe, 47 candidates for the Republican Party.
Not that I thought it was going to be a surprise today to hear that Fiorina did drop out, but we were hearing rumors, you know, pretty much for the last 24-hour cycle, that after these results were coming in, Christie was going to drop. He wasn't showing up to South Carolina. He was going back to New Jersey to talk with his group, figure out what the next step was going to be. It was inevitable that he was going to drop. I didn't think so soon she would drop out. But this now opens up the door for the other candidates. Where are these voters that, and they are few voters, but where are they going to go to now?
Yeah. Well, what should happen is that these voters will go to a different candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting out of it and saying, please go support this person. because nobody does that. That's what used to happen in the old days. Someone would drop out and they'd be like, oh, you know what, Chris Christie, I'm getting out. Please vote for Marco Rubio. And then that would give that candidate a lift. No one does that anymore. They're like, yeah, goodbye, I'm out of here.
He is definitely not backing
for you're on your own. Thanks for your support. So the good news is we got a couple out. The bad news is this Cruz-Bush-Rubio thing. All three of them have now been encouraged to stay in the race.
Well, that's the thing. You know, with high numbers coming from Bush, you basically have all of his backers with all this money now thinking that he has a chance. So we're going to see continually more of those annoying commercials every day.
And it would be nice.
Super PACs.
It would be nice to Jeb Bush, get rid Jeb Bush of one of these Jeb Bush candidates, Jeb Bush. I would really Jeb Bush like one of these Jeb Bush people to go away. Mm. Jeb Bush.
Because, I mean, that is not subliminal advertising.
Because the problem that you have right now is that Jeb and Rubio are splitting the vote. Like, Ted Cruz really needs to go.
What?
Ted Cruz really needs to go.
Don't say that.
He's a part-time Canadian.
Do not say such craziness.
He is a part-time Canadian and a scary individual. No, I mean, look, if you support Ted Cruz, that's fine. But there isn't any definition to this race. We know who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is the outsider, anti-establishment candidate that everyone on the right is gravitating around.
Yeah, but you can almost say that about Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz is your classic social, extreme social conservative evangelical candidate. That's who he is.
I wouldn't say so typical. I think more constitutional than you've seen in the past. I think he is somebody that can push the country back into the way of actual Republican and conservative.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see him more as a megalomaniac.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I see him more
That's interesting.
I see him more as a megalomaniac who would like women's rights to be rolled back to the year 1600.
Mm.
Everybody going to church on Sunday. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's just the way he comes off. Jeb and Rubio are splitting the vote. And if one of them, Jeb Bush, would get out, then the other one could be a legitimate challenger. As long as they're both in there, they're going to keep splitting the vote. Kasich, I think after this,
is going to go back down to where he was.
Yeah, he's he's back down in like 2%.
You are not going to see the same numbers that you did in New Hampshire for him, those 15% down in South Carolina. In any of the states in the South, you are not going to see that.
Kasich basically got into this thing and said, look, I'm going to win. I'm going to make a strong showing in New Hampshire. I'm going to prove that I'm electable. And we'll see where it goes from there.
But Trump having such high numbers in New Hampshire did not surprise me at all.
No. New Hampshire's been all over Trump for months now.
I think people need to come to the realization this is actually happening. He could be your Republican nominee.
Well, he's got a good shot at winning the Nevada caucus. He's ahead in South Carolina right now. Nobody's talking about Nevada. Everybody's like, on to South Carolina. No, there is a caucus in between here. And it's a caucus, and caucuses are a mess. And unless you're Iowa, nobody wants to hear about it. But Nevada is in play before South Carolina. There's another debate coming up before South Carolina. Hopefully Rubio can get back on message and deliver a better showing. I don't know that I necessarily buy the whole his debate performance killed him in New Hampshire. Because he wasn't doing that well in New Hampshire to begin with.
Yeah, but for the majority, your mainstream media was playing that clip over and over again of Christie shooting him down.
Yeah, but I don't think...
But Rubio actually came out and said, no, the media is pushing this narrative of what they're trying to pin me.
And how did Christie do last night? Yeah, so no one's paying attention to Christie up there. Rubio was not going to do well in New Hampshire. He just wasn't.
And
Jeb wasn't necessarily going to do well in New Hampshire. New Hampshire and Florida are sort of natural enemies. You know, you got your Northeast rednecks versus your Deep South rednecks. And they know what the other side is like because there's a lot of migration between New Hampshire and Florida and Massachusetts and Florida. We know what's going on down there. They know what's going on up here. We don't like each other. Everybody who's in one of these states is there because they couldn't stand being in the other one. So somebody from Florida walks in and they're going to be like, look at what I did in Florida. New Hampshire's like, you don't want to hear it. We don't care.
But we're already in the second week in February. We are going to be in March very, very soon. And then we're going down to Florida. We're going to Michigan. We are going to these big states. It is fast and furious.
Yeah. And it can't be over fast enough.
I've already diagnosed myself with election fatigue.
Please tell me there are no primaries or caucuses before the next show, because I can't. We have to do this for national news for the next 4 months. I'm gonna scream. I'm gonna lose my mind. We'll talk about South Carolina and then Super Tuesday, and then I don't care. I'm tuned out. No, that's not true either. I just wish it were. In world news, we learned once again that it pays to stay on Kim Jong-un's good side. South Korean media reported that the chief of staff of the North Korean army, Ri Yong-gil, was executed for forming a political faction and corruption. A source close to the North Korean military told South Korea's Yonhap News Services, quote, Kim Jong-un still feels insecure about his grip on the country's powerful military, end quote.
We heard somebody shot in North Korea.
The hits just keep coming from Kim Jong-un.
That is so strange. I would never expect that.
They just had their big successful rocket test. They tested their hydrogen bomb, and now he's gone and executed this guy.
This is the norm. I mean, this is stories that we constantly are hearing in the news cycle coming out of North Korea.
Yeah.
This is every day.
This is not a guy we should feel good about having nuclear weapons and long-range rockets.
Now, didn't our government just say recently in the past couple hours that we were going to put some sort of sanctions on North Korea? Is it actually going to happen? To what standards?
There is no more sanctioning that we can do that would have any meaningful impact whatsoever on North Korea. What we're trying to do now is to get China to start putting sanctions on North Korea.
Well, then there will be some actual impact. Because right now we're sitting in a place where we look at North Korea, they are way over there.
Yeah.
And we don't think about it. I mean, yeah, they're on our radar, but...
Because China is the only country in the world that has normal trade relationship with North Korea. And on some level, I think the Chinese kind of like having North Korea do what it does. You know, it's the noisy barking dog that you can use to annoy your neighbor.
Now, what's the percentage of import-exports that are going through China and North Korea?
Pretty much 100% of anything exported from North Korea is going to China, and 100% of what's imported to North Korea. Not 100. There's all the stuff that flows illegally across the South Korean border.
Yeah, but the thing is, do you actually think that China would implement sanctions?
At a certain...
For what reason? Why would they do it?
At a certain point, you have to. Because at a certain point...
Are they going to do it because it's pressure from other countries around the world?
Yes. At a certain point, the United States...
China's doing what they want.
China's basically sitting there laughing at the whole thing. I mean, that's pretty much what they're doing. They're like, North Korea got the Americans riled up again. But sooner or later, North Korea takes a step too far. And you have the very real possibility of military action from the United States. China does not want that. China does not want the U.S. military operating right off of its coast. So if we're putting pressure on China, the question becomes, what are we backing that pressure up with? Are we saying diplomatically, listen, there's a certain point where if you guys don't do something, we're either going to drop bombs, or we're going to take this guy out, or we're going to do something that could potentially destabilize the peninsula. China doesn't want that. So
it ultimately comes down what pressure from other countries.
Right. And, you know, I don't know how... All I've heard and read is that the State Department is trying to pressure China into doing something about this. China doesn't care. You know?
They're like Russia. They're doing what they want.
Yeah. Well, but Russia, too. There are limits. You know, everybody on the global stage sort of knows... Unless we're talking about Boko Haram or ISIS or the Somali pirates or
some lawless group. I feel like it would take so much to actually back a country like China, to back a country like Russia into a corner where they actually do implement such sanctions on another country.
China's economy is a mess right now. Russia's economy is a mess right now. There are economic ways that we can bring...
And ours is too.
That we can bring pressure on them. But ultimately, China and Russia would probably ignore that And just put up with it.
But can you still say that we have the global power that we did years ago?
Yeah, because we still have the military. And ultimately, the biggest threat that we have as the United States is to say, we're going to go drop some bombs on North Korea.
Yeah, but everything that's going on in the Middle East, I just don't see us making military threats to China.
And we're not going to go to war with China.
No, but saying... we're going to drop bombs in North Korea unless you start doing this.
But that's the threat.
Or implementing such sanctions.
North Korea doesn't have any kind of an air force. North Korea doesn't. They've got anti-aircraft weapons. But mostly what they have is ground troops and tanks.
And flying them around for fun.
And a few nuclear weapons floating around. So
that we know of.
That we know of. So it's entirely possible for us to go over there and carpet bomb North Korea. If we do that, it's going to be complete bloody chaos over there because the military is probably going to seize control of the country again. People will be dying left and right. They may try and march back into South Korea. The South Koreans may see it as an opportunity to go in and take more land.
But this is a country that, for fun, is basically testing hydrogen bombs.
Yes. Well,
so we're not playing with a leader that has, you know, a full deck.
It's not for fun. It's saber rattling. it's Kim Jong-un saying, hey, I got this. Hey, I got these rockets. Hey, I got these bombs. You know, take me seriously. And he's sort of been stuck over in a corner. China doesn't take him seriously. United States doesn't take him. No one takes him seriously.
Until something actually happens.
So he's pretty much allowed to stay over there playing with his guns and bombs and military up to the point where he does something really dangerous. And China does not want that level of instability right off of its coast. China does not want to lose the economic partnership that it has. So if the United States makes a serious overture to China and says, look, this is the line that if he crosses, we're coming in. Are you going to do something about it? China's kind of backed up against the wall. And yes, they have to do something about it. How far they would go, whether or not they could even do anything with this guy.
I can only tell by time.
Yeah, it's anybody's guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one really knows what's going on in North Korea, apart from what people tell South Korean news services.
Or as we played in the show that one time, the broadcast.
The North Korean media, yeah.
Which is very excitable.
She was on recently, by the way, talking about the rocket launch. I'll see if I can track that down.
Well, in sports news, we learned sometimes a team will take a fall for a player. Cleveland Browns lied to try to protect a drunk Johnny Manziel a week before Cleveland's final game. The allegations from the NFL Network say that Brown lied and said he was in the NFL concussion protocol. Quote, let me repeat, the Browns lied to try to protect, and I would argue enables this irresponsible and troubled young man, said NFL Network's Michael Silver. He just needs to go away. This needs to stop happening. What actually happened, so week 16, we go into it. Johnny Manziel loses a game. Final game comes in. We find out, supposedly, he has a concussion. Is, you know, written out for the last game of the season. He's in Vegas having fun. Come to find out, he showed up drunk to practice. If not drunk, he was severely hungover, as a source from the NFL Network is citing. Somebody from the team had said that.
He was in Vegas.
Of course.
In disguise.
He was.
We know he was there.
He was trying to change the timestamp on his Twitter and his Instagram for it. What needs to happen right now? Because the NFL, and we've talked so much on the show about concussions and how much the NFL cares about concussions. You basically have a team lying about concussion protocol for a player. The Cleveland Browns need to have some sort of discipline action, whether it be a first round pick, second round pick, maybe 2 years. You can't just solely blame the player. You need to blame the team.
No, I don't think you can blame the I don't think you can blame the team.
No, 100%.
No.
They were covering up protocol. Concussion protocol. They lied about it.
Yeah, but this is a bunch of players lying to protect a fellow player.
Yeah, but the,
but listen,
the front office in the Cleveland Browns came out and said it.
In the case of Johnny Manziel, I don't know why players are doing that.
Well, the big question is, why would they lie for a player going into week 16? This stupid kid that, you know, may or may not allegedly beat his ex-girlfriend, has sent him to rehab. He's not even that good of a player. There had been rumors going around that possibly Dallas could be interested. As we know, Dallas basically takes in any delinquent player that has a sketchy background. But could they be lying to make him look a little bit better so he can get the trade?
No, I don't think that's the, because they're,
why not?
They're going to cut ties with him. They're cutting him loose at the end of this. He's not even going to be back on the roster.
But why would you risk
they have made that
lying
clear
about something as serious as a concussion protocol?
Because there is a...
Because a drunk player. Why didn't you just come out if you're going to cut him and say, he's stupid, rehab didn't work, he's a drunk, we got rid of him?
WMFO Medford, 617-627-3800. You like to say that. Because there is a fraternity of players. And they are going to get each other's backs in this situation. That's why they do it. I don't think there's any love lost between that team and Johnny Manziel. Although certainly some people on the team thought he was their best choice at quarterback, and wanted to see him play and wanted to see him come back. The kid's screwing up left and right. And rather than roll over on a teammate, you close ranks. Because if you roll over on Johnny Manziel, now everybody else in the locker room is sitting there going, well, you rolled over on the quarterback, you're going to roll over on me next? That's the mentality that settles in with these guys.
And the front office is just going to go along with it?
The front office can only go by what the players are telling them. The front office doesn't necessarily have any greater insight than anybody else does. They found out he was in Vegas at the same time everybody else found out that he was in Vegas.
Yeah, but he's showing up to the office, to the facility, drunk.
Yeah, but can you prove that?
I know what you look like when you're drunk. You know what I look like when I'm drunk. I can tell a drunk person.
Can you prove it?
Now, the biggest question is, if you're going to say that it was a concussion, why was he not examined right after the game? Why was he not examined 1-2 days after the game? They waited 4 days after the game? He said, ooh, you know, he comes in, I'm sensitive to light, my head hurts. Yeah, that's a hangover.
Yeah.
That's a severe hangover.
I don't know.
Maybe, you know what? I actually feel like I have a concussion the day after I have Fireball.
Yeah, that'll do that to you. That'll absolutely do that.
But I'm not lying about it.
No, but the thing is, I don't think there's any intent to deceive anyone here. This is their quarterback. This is a guy you got to put on the field on Sunday. At the end, if he's showing up drunk, you try and deal with it. A lot of these guys have problems like that.
But if we're talking about the integrity of the league,
Chandler Jones.
This honesty.
What do we know about Chandler Jones up to this point and why he was at the Foxborough police station? The Patriots haven't said anything about it. Where did Bill Belichick get that black eye? There's a lot of nonsense that goes on behind the scenes. And yes, it's easy.
And there should have been an investigation into it. If there's one going on right now, we don't know. It's not being talked about. But for the majority, that was Foxborough police covering it up.
I know.
Was there a call from the front office of, you know, Gillette? Possibly.
Considering that the police chief works as the head of security at Gillette.
Good chance. I understand. I don't think that was a single-handed decision made by him solely.
Absolutely was. And I don't think that call needs to be made by the Patriots. There is an understanding. One of our guys shows up at your police station messed up. Don't let it get out.
Yeah, but how many players are in walking distance to the Foxborough police station? But that's not like an understood, unwritten rule.
After a game,
just so happens that, you know, Chandler Jones lives down the street, happened to take some bath salts or whatever he took.
I'm sure there's a bunch of them living in the area, and they all go out and party up and down Route 1 after the games, you know, and there's an understanding there, you know, and this is something that has existed informally for decades. You know, it used to be if a politician got arrested out of town, the police chief would call that town's police chief and say, come on down here and get your guy. And we're not going to press charges, but he was drunk. He was being an idiot.
Yeah, but
come get him out of here.
But the Jones situation is different because we're talking about showing up to an off facility site. I'm talking about Manziel showing up to a facility site.
At the end of the day, it's about putting football on the field and making money. If Johnny Manziel is a guy that you have to do that, then you got to put up with a guy showing up drunk.
But I hate this.
And if it's in the locker room,
though, Derek, that is happening constantly with the NFL, and we're talking about the integrity of the league and honesty and transparency.
You're talking about that.
That is what the narrative that's constantly being pushed by Goodell.
You're talking about that. Roger Goodell is talking about that. All of us who are sensible are sitting here listening to that and saying, that doesn't exist. That's a myth. There is no integrity. There is no honesty. The shield stands for nothing.
No, of course there isn't. But you can't push that narrative if you're not going to follow it, or at least come down on some certain things.
I don't see Roger Goodell coming down on this, because everybody knows that Johnny Manziel's a mess. It's up to Johnny Manziel to fix Johnny Manziel. Punishing the Cleveland Browns is not going to fix Johnny Manziel. Cutting Johnny Manziel from the... Now, if the Browns kept Manziel on the roster, then I think Roger Goodell can come in and be like, hey, you guys lied to me. The only thing I hate more than deflated footballs is when people lie to me. So I'm going to make an example out of you. But he's gone. He's Jerry Jones' problem now. Because, you know, Jerry Jones is going to be like, yeah, I get Johnny Manziel for cheap. Next time Romo goes down, we'll put Johnny Football out there. Everyone in Texas is going to love me. And that's...
Maybe, yeah, people like him down there.
Yeah.
Well, in food news, we learned China may have a new staple. In a lab 50 miles north of Beijing, technicians propage potato plants by slicing leaves off tiny sprouts and dropping the cuttings into jars of growth jelly. Within a few weeks, each of the snippets should send a shoot of its own. Quote, the fastest way produce lots of healthy potato seeds, said Lee Homling, a project manager at IN Potato Group, China's largest potato developer. The communist-led government says such a jarring culinary change is necessary to prevent a land, water, and shortage from worsening, to make sure the country feeds itself of a population of 1.3 billion as it grows. Now, pound for pound, potatoes require 30% less water than the staples as we know, wheat, rice, maize, that are the biggest producers in China. Land dedicated has doubled. So China's government is actually pushing more land. They're sending out propaganda saying, eat more potatoes. They're trying to change everybody's diet so that there's more water. This is crazy. You basically have a government trying to determine what people are going to eat.
Are we sure these aren't counterfeit potatoes?
They're not counterfeit potatoes.
Are we sure of this? Are we 100% sure of this? Because...
Well, China is actually the number one producer in the entire world. We're talking about 95 million tons of potatoes. So in the United States, we use 80% of all our potatoes grown. Half of them in China are either exported or just fed to livestock. So they basically get rid of it. Years ago, when I think it was the Dutch brought them over in like the 1600s, they were looked at as like the poor food.
Yeah.
And rice and your noodles were looked at as prized possessions. So they really never caught on in the diet. So it's interesting when you have a government trying to push a brand new kind of... They don't even look at it as a vegetable.
Wait, why don't they just give them tots? Everybody loves tater tots.
So they're pumping all this money into studies to try to, I don't even know what they're doing, scientifically grow them in a different way. So, yeah. And they're actually now using the waste from the potatoes to fertilize plants, too.
That's all great, you know, but it's like, I don't, it's interesting because you never find potatoes in Chinese food. Like, in any of the cuisines.
Well, they were saying pretty much only in the Western fast food restaurants are you going to find French fries,
yeah,
which is solely the use for potatoes.
Right. It's like, you think of the potato as just being something that everybody everywhere on the planet eats, like tomatoes. You don't find tomatoes in Chinese food
either. A lot
of
the articles that I looked at, they were saying some of the high-end Chinese restaurants were now using a lot of cheese and a lot of dairy products to prop up. I'm like, welcome to America.
Yeah, that's exactly what
we do. Like, why are your potatoes so good?
Soon we will be talking about the rapidly expanding Chinese waistline.
Yeah,
you know, like, why do all the Chinese people suddenly weigh 300 pounds? Oh, might be the dairy.
Potatoes.
Might be the dairy and the potatoes that they're eating now.
They're real good because they have five sticks of butter in them.
Yeah, we've taught them to eat like Americans. We start with five kinds of rich, creamery butter and then put it on a potato and then deep fry it. But it's, you know, I would think you'd be able to convince people that potatoes are worth something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, in China, that has such a control over what is projected, whether it be on the media, whether it be on the internet, just pushing. You can only imagine going what the advertisements would be and eat your potatoes, kids. Potatoes.
They're also very much about the rice, which is a starch. So it's like if you're eating rice.
They're trying to stray away from the rice.
Because they don't have any room to grow it anymore is the problem.
Well, they don't have any water. They have water, but it's
they need to grow rice in the land.
Rapidly shortened.
Instead of the potatoes. And then they can solve it that way. In technology news, we learned that just like corporations are people, computers are drivers. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration ruled that a self-driving system developed by Google qualifies as a driver, opening the door for Google to deploy self-driving vehicles on U.S. roads. The victory was only partial as the NHTSA rejected plans for vehicles without foot and hand brakes, citing existing regulations that determine whether a vehicle is street legal. So Google wanted to put these cars out there, no steering wheel, no brakes, no shifters, no nothing, that would just drive themselves around. And their argument was, you don't need any of that stuff because the car does it. And the Highway Safety Administration said, hang on a second. If you want to tell us that your artificial intelligence and all your computer programs can drive a car, all right, we'll call that a driver, but you still got to have brakes and you still got to have a steering wheel.
But for what purpose?
So that we can have Johnny Cab. You remember Johnny Cab from Total Recall?
Mm-hmm.
That's what...
When do you think we're going to get in a time where we will actually see driverless cars on the road? Or driving with you and I on the highway?
I read one article...
How far out are we looking?
I read one article earlier this week that referred to driverless cars as 3,000-pound death machines. So I think the author may have been a little biased and said that we're not going to see this before 2045.
You know how badly people drive here in Boston? Let's just, you know, adding driverless cars to the mix.
Well, the problem with the driverless cars is they get to a four-way stop and they don't go anywhere because nobody lets them go. Because it just sits there waiting for an opening that never comes because everyone just keeps going through the intersection without stopping.
Yeah, I'd love to see a driverless car try to get through the rotary around South Boston, yeah. Columbus Circle.
When they could program a car to drive like somebody from Boston, then they'll be all over the place. However, that car will also need a feature where like an arm extends from the side of the car and gives you the finger as it's cutting you off in the rotary.
Yeah. So we do need a steering wheel because we need a horn that constantly is just going off.
That would be the New York model.
Mm-hmm.
It's as soon as the light turns green, it starts leaning on the horn. Mm-hmm.
Is it programmed too that it speeds up at a yellow light?
Currently, no.
It has a time. So typically in Boston, after usually 11 o'clock, red lights are stop signs.
Yeah.
It's going to be programmed into that as well?
I think they could deal with that easier than they could. It's not going to speed up to get through a yellow light. One of the big problems that they're having with them is double parked vehicles because these vehicles are programmed not to cross a double yellow line. So if someone's double parked and the car can't get around, it just sits there and waits for the double parked vehicle to move. So it's like, how long are you going to put up with that? They need to be a little bit more reckless than they are right now. Although, if you make them more reckless than they are right now, they're just going to mow down all the people walking aimlessly across the street, listening to their Beats by Dre headphones.
And we understand the biking problem that we also have here in Boston, I'm sure.
I believe that's a perfect expression of Darwinism. If you get killed by a driverless car because you can't hear it because you're using
machine
your Beats.
Machine kills, man.
Yeah, that's a perfect expression of Darwinism. You... As an individual, we're not prepared to survive in the technology age. You weren't ready for the robot age. You were okay when it was people doing everything.
If you had purchased the Beats by Dre, and especially if you purchased them on Black Friday, you deserved to die.
Yeah. So that's, but, you know, this is a step closer. One thing that apparently is going to happen sooner rather than later is they're talking about driverless long-haul big rigs that would only operate on the highway. So it gets on the highway, drives across the country, and then pulls into a location, and a human gets behind the wheel and takes it into the city. That's not...
Okay.
That's not bad. Because what they found is that on the highway, the driverless vehicles actually do really well.
No, I can understand if you're driving through, you know, the South, Midwest, even parts of Texas. I mean, you can go days without reaching each side.
Like, on-ramps and off-ramps are challenging for them, but they don't speed. They don't have to pull over and take brakes. They don't act reckless on the road.
But isn't that,
unlike real truck drivers,
slightly jarring to understand such a powerful tool is not being operated by anything except a computer?
How many things like that already exist in our world?
I know, I understand that. But I also, you know, conspiracy theory mind that I always have understands hackers and getting into all of these driverless cars and rigs.
Well, of course, that is the crime of the 21st century. Because it used to be...
causing severe destruction.
You would have to hijack the truck full of jeans by, you know, convincing the driver to pull over and then sticking a gun in his face. With the driverless truck, all you have to do is hack into it, pull it over, take your jeans, and then send it back on its way. So it gets to its destination and there are no jeans there, and you're three states away selling the jeans. Mm. They'll figure that out. There will be people like hacking the driverless trucks and taking everything that's on the driverless trucks and maybe leaving it on the side of the road.
So now these trucks will have not only brakes, not only a steering wheel, but also a grenade hooked up to the side in case a hacker does come in and steal said jeans.
Yeah.
Understood.
That's something that you could do, is you could outfit the back of the truck with a laser system so that when the people open it up...
trap it.
Yeah, like the lasers come out and they get singed to death.
Home Alone style.
That would be an option for that. Yeah. So, driverless cars coming soon. Thank you, National Highway Traffic. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're probably no worse than all the other idiots who are already on the road.
No way. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
I know how much Lisa loves the cold. Oh, boy. Lisa loves the cold. And you know how much I love snow. Well, guess what? This weekend is gonna suck, kids. Tonight, not bad. It's gonna be heading down into the mid-20s tonight. Absolutely tolerable. Tomorrow, snow. Depending on where you are, you could get a coating to an inch of snow. High is gonna be about 29 degrees. And then tomorrow night, the fun begins. Low temperatures in the single digits in some places tomorrow night. Friday, chance of a flurry. We get into the mid-20s. Friday night, we fall back into the teens. Saturday's high will be about the same as Friday's low. Ugh. It is going to be in the teens.
You know how much I hate...
for a high
digits.
On Saturday, temperature Saturday night below zero. With wind chills.
Super. So real feel is
so
what?
The,
negative 20?
The real
what
feel.
What is that? Sunday night?
If you happen to be... I hate the real feel temperature crap.
So this
it's
is Sunday
be
night.
30 below zero. That's
it's
what
Valentine's
saying.
Day. If you have a significant other, just cuddle up.
Yeah, don't go out.
And if you don't have a significant other, get drunk enough where you don't feel the cold.
Because pretty much the same on Sunday. If anything, a little bit colder. Lower teens for a high Sunday during the day, and then back below zero on Sunday night. We warm it up a bit. Comparatively speaking, on Monday, and then get back into rain and warmth on Tuesday. So, a frigid, ice-cold Valentine's Day weekend awaits you. Skip the dinner reservations. Just go straight to bed and stay there and stay warm, and you'll have a great Valentine's Day.
Yay.
Right?
Yay, love.
Walking Dead is on Sunday night.
Sounds so much more appealing than Valentine's Day.
There's a lot of things you can do Sunday.
You know my feeling about the holidays. So.
Rather than going out. Yeah, but you only feel that way because you're... What's the... You're a spinster. That's why you feel that way, is because you're a spinster. Yes.
I'm cynical.
If you weren't a spinster, you'd be all about Valentine's. You'd be like, oh, it's the greatest day of the year.
The best.
Ask my wife. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO, that's all one word, is our new social media presence.
Yeah, give us a like.
Where you could go give us a like, join in. You'll get all kinds of great extra content during the week, as well as access to our highlights podcast, The Best of Last Week. We got two of those up right now. And we're actually starting to build a following on this thing. I was surprised. You know, I logged on there this morning. I'm like, we got 50 people.
Yeah, I got us about 20-something yesterday.
So it's good, and it's growing. So get over there. Again, you can post during the show and let us know what you think. Share your comments. When we come back, it'll be a special Super Bowl edition of Stump the Co-Host right here on WMFO Medford.
Have you ever noticed a number and a shield along with a quality grade mark on the meat you buy? Well, that's the yield grade. Although the yield grade is important to the retailer, you don't need to be concerned about it unless you're buying a large cut of meat like an untrimmed wholesale cut. The yield grade tells you how much usable meat you will have after the waste is removed. A yield grade 1 has the most usable meat and a yield grade 5 the least. To learn more, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash.
Fluorescent lamps.
Fluorescent lamps.
Thermometers.
Thermometers.
Thermostats.
Thermostats.
Button batteries.
Button batteries.
These could all contain mercury, so let's dispose of them properly.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash.
Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly.
Mercury is harmful to your health and the environment. To learn what products in your home may contain mercury and where to dispose of them, contact your local health department or visit keepmercuryfromrising.org. Brought to you by Wheelabrator Technologies and Covanta Energy, the people who convert your trash into clean, renewable electricity.
Know your products with mercury so you can dispose of them properly.
Keepmercuryfromrising.org.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. Or you can weigh in with us on Facebook. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. That's all one word. I found a tiny, tiny clip, courtesy of CNN, of our favorite North Korean newscaster, which I'll share right now, before we jump into Stump the Co-Host. There may be a little rogue audio before the start of this.
Nation floods in. North Korea.
Yeah, so there she is once again. She's just so excited about all of these things. I would love to get her on the show sometime. Byung-young Hatai. Yes.
So excited about
great and glorious
bombs.
And she wears the same outfit every single night.
Is it?
Every clip, she's wearing like the same kimono. I don't know what's going on over there. It is Stump the Co-Host. Normally, Lisa and I would be grilling each other on news stories from the past week, but we've been doing this for a while. Millions and millions of dollars were spent by corporations to get their name out during the Super Bowl this past weekend. $4.5 million per 30 seconds.
Now,
just to buy the ad time.
May I add, it was a completely uneventful Super Bowl. At least we normally have the commercials to, you know, lift us up a little bit.
Yeah.
Completely disappointed.
Really weak this year.
Really weak.
Really weak. There, on the plus side, no dead kids.
Always positive.
Nothing that was too, like, sad or unsettling, you know, violence or anything like that. Everything was pretty middle of the road, mediocre this year, and really nothing that stood out. So these companies have spent $4.5 million per 30 seconds of ad time just for the privilege of being there. That doesn't include what you spend on the commercial to produce it or any of the other costs that go along with that, if you're running a promotion or anything like that. So with all of this money that's being spent, you would assume that 3 days later, 4 days later, depending on how you count it, Lisa and I would immediately remember exactly what these commercials are, exactly what these brands are, just based on a cursory description of them. This is really how Stump the Co-Host began with this.
And we are going to test. No, now, mind you, this is even more difficult for me because, again, as Derek said in the beginning of the show, and I had said, I don't have my show notes tonight, so we are winging it.
But this will be pretty easy. We're doing 5 rounds on this tonight. You can play along at home. You can play along at facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO and throw us answers in there if you want. I'll give you a warm-up round because this one is so blatantly obvious. Everybody needs to get this. This may be the only one that worked. Puppy Monkey Baby.
Oh, so incredibly weird and not adorable. That would be Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Well, do you know the actual product?
Mountain Dew Recharge it's the new one, the energy drink.
Kickstart. Is the name of it. But Mountain Dew
Recharge,
is good.
Recharge, Kickstart,
is good enough.
The same.
Holy cow. Who came up with this nightmare?
Yeah.
Who came up with this nightmare? It's a dog's head on a monkey's body, torso, on a baby's legs.
Are they going for, you know, babies are adorable, puppies are adorable, monkeys? And it's wearing a diaper?
The concept behind it is it's like three things that you love brought together. So it's like caffeine, fruit juice, and diabetes are all in that can. And I'm looking at this ad and I'm like, great, I can make my own Four Loko now. All I need is that and some Everclear.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're good.
I'm good for the night. But out of all the ads, that to me was the most memorable for all the wrong reasons. That thing was horrifying. And Monday night, I'm watching South Park on Comedy Central. They were running that ad every single break. And it's almost like you need to go and tell people who like to enjoy South Park with some substances, don't watch the commercials. Because this demon monkey dog baby is going to be haunting you for the rest
of
your life.
But as they said, they were trying to get you to constantly say it, and that's what happened. So
in
successful.
That, yes, in that sense, it worked. So,
all right. I'll give you an easy one, too.
Okay.
Ultrasound.
That would be Doritos.
Yes. That was actually one of the commercials I did enjoy.
That was and that was one of the few controversial commercials during the Super Bowl.
For what reason?
Apparently the pro-life people are upset about it, or the pro-choice people are upset about it. Somebody who's pro-something is upset about it. Because it showed an ultrasound.
They did.
And it's, you know, I don't know. You got to be outraged about something. That and Beyonce's halftime show. Which, if that was some statement against the police.
Wait, are we angry about police or that she's backing Red Lobster? Because both are equally as offensive.
If that was some big statement about the police, it was lost on me in a sea of bad dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I saw, was bad, uninspired dancing.
Yeah. Well, I went into acute seizure after all the bright lights from Coldplay. All right, you're up.
Wiener dogs.
Heinz.
Yes, that was Heinz. The wiener dogs running into the hot dog buns, jumping into the arms of people wearing ketchup outfits.
I wrote notes as I was watching the Super Bowl. They get less understandable as the night went on.
Yeah.
Understanding that I was drinking a lot. And next to where I wrote wiener dogs, I wrote, we need more wiener dogs. Ketchup. So, yeah, that's that. All right. Let's go with Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken was, oh, God. Hyundai.
Mm-mm.
He was not Hyundai.
I'll give you a little more clue to it. He was talking about socks. Colorful, colorful socks.
Yeah, but he was
went into a room of just beige.
But he was also, he was pitching a car. Was that the Toyota Corolla?
Nope. You got a car.
Yeah, I got a car. But it's, what brand was it?
Kia.
Oh, it's, well, okay. So it was Hyundai. Because Hyundai and Kia are the same company.
No, but completely different.
If we're...
You can... No. Nope. No. You are not getting that.
Hyundai
absolutely
and, Hyundai
not.
And Kia are interchangeable. They are the same...
That is crazy.
They are the same company.
I'm absolutely not giving that to you.
They are the same company.
Mm-mm.
They are the same... It's like asking me for the model.
If I said Hyundai, you would not give that to me.
Yes, I would.
You absolutely would not.
I absolutely would, because I know that they're the same company.
I'll give you a half.
All right.
Half.
All right. I should get a half for that. Liam Neeson.
Oh, this one's weird. See, this was in my notes that are in the computer at my grandmother's.